إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah said, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِّن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. Allah said, is he whose heart or his chest, breast, Allah has opened to Islam so that he is in the light from his Rabb. That means a person who is a Muslim, is he equal to a non-Muslim? So woe to those whose hearts are hardened against the remembrance of Allah. They are in plain error. I remind myself and you that we need to be clear about our assets and ensure that our assets are actually not liabilities. I remember I was in Sri Lanka in Yala National Park in November last year, and we were in a bungalow inside the park which was next to a river. And the river had a dam on it, and right in front of the bungalow there was an aqueduct. Part of the water of the river was diverted to some other place, so there was this concrete aqueduct, and we used to go and bathe in that aqueduct. We would stand inside the aqueduct and bathe in it, and where there was a dam that had a lot of fish, and there was a dry tree right in front. So there was a grey fishing eagle which used to come every morning and sit on top of the top branch of that tree, and then he would dive and catch a fish and take it away. So it was for that grey fishing eagle, this was like his food bowl. So one day while we were there one night, it rained, and it rained practically the whole night, and extremely heavy rain. The bungalow had a corrugated iron roof, so the noise of the rain on the roof was absolutely deafening. It was, you could not talk to one another. It was so heavy, very, very heavy rain. And then in the morning, after Fajr, we were sitting on the veranda on top, and I see in the distance, on another very tall dead tree, a peacock, and the big male with a nice long tail, and he's sitting on top of this tree. So obviously he roosted there in the night, because they go up in the night to roost in the highest branches of the trees. And he got caught in the rain, so he can't go anywhere, he's sitting there. And the reason they go and roost in the night on top of the tree is because of the tail. Now, if you ask somebody, what is the asset of the peacock, you will say tail. You know, a big male with a magnificent tail, which is sometimes almost 3 feet long. It's a fantastic sight. But actually, that tail of the peacock is not its asset. The tail of the peacock is actually its biggest liability, because that tail makes it very difficult for that peacock to escape any predators. It's very easy to catch a big male peacock, because he can't run. I mean, if he tries to run, you just grab the tail, he's gone. And to escape from leopards, which are the primary predators for peacocks or any of the larger cats, it's almost impossible. So what peacocks do is towards the late evening, while it is still nice and bright and light, they climb trees. They fly up into the trees, and they go and sit on the topmost highest branch. So there was this peacock in Yala, completely soaked in this in this rain, sitting on top, but he's alive. So I'm thinking to myself that, you know, what we consider to be our assets are actually our liabilities. They're not assets. Whereas the opposite is true. What we might consider to be a liability might actually turn out to be the asset. Same peacock thing. If usually people say the peacocks, you know, worst part is the legs, you know, because the legs are ugly. But the legs are the asset actually, because that's the only thing which will help it to escape, because it runs fast. The reason I'm saying this and the link to this ayat of Surah Az-Zumar is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the one who has iman, the one who Allah has opened his breast to Islam, this person is in the noor of his Rabb. This person has the noor of his Rabb in his heart. He is in the noor of his Rabb. And he is not like someone whose heart has been hardened to the zikr of Allah, meaning that the zikr of Allah does not do anything to his heart. Right? So even if he has the zikr of Allah, he does not do anything. So meaning that Allah said, "Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub." Allah said, the zikr of Allah is the reason for itminan of the qalb. The reason you have peace of mind is because of the zikr of Allah. Verily, the zikr of Allah gives peace of mind to people. So somebody whose heart is hardened against the zikr of Allah is not somebody who has peace of mind. And if somebody does not have peace of mind, then what is the good of anything else which he has? He might have health, he might have wealth, he might have influence, power, authority, whatever. But he has no peace of mind. How can that person, I mean, what does that person really have? As one of the Salaf said, if you have the whole world and everything it contains, but you do not have Allah, then what do you have? You have nothing. You really have actually nothing. Whereas if you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have the whole world. I mean, it's not a question of saying you have Allah but you don't have the world, because if you have Allah, there's no question of not having the world. Now, this is the meaning of opening of the heart and being in the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to understand this, that if you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you, and having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you means that we are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. There is no other understanding of Allah being with us. The ma'iyat of Allah is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no ma'iyat of Allah, there is no being Allah being with a person other than the obedience of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. So very quickly, very clearly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us and told us what is the meaning, how can I have Allah with me? By doing salah and by having sabr. And sabr means, one is patience, is to, if there is some difficulty and so on that comes on you, then you bear it with patience, you don't moan and groan and complain and make a scene. And also it means making every effort to do the best that you can do and then stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. So both of these are talking about ruju ilallah. Both of these are talking about turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah, very clearly turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabr, very clearly turning towards Allah. So when a person does this, when a person turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said, Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. Verily and truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people who have sabr. So the ma'iyat of Allah is an outcome of the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayat of Surah Zumar, that the one who Allah has opened his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Yashraha sadrahu lil Islam. He has opened his heart to Islam. The person, meaning the person is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that the person has no contradiction in his heart and his mind, you know, what shall I do, and this and that. He does not allow his desires to overcome him. He does not allow shaitan to overcome him. He is true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his thoughts, in his qawl, in his aqwal, in his speech, and in his fi'l, in his actions. This person, his heart or her heart is open to Islam, and this person is in the noor of his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. May Allah make us among those. And contrasting with that is the opposite, which is people whose hearts are hardened against the dhikr of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for these people, what is there? Because their hearts are hardened against the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to save us from that. So very important for us to take stock and say, what really are my assets and what really are my liabilities. I think it's very important for us to do that. must do that even on a daily basis, but at least if not on a daily basis, then do it periodically, because many times things which we, like I gave you the example of the tail of the peacock, the things which we think are assets are not assets at all. They are major liabilities, and we don't realize that until it is too late, and then it is too late. So it is very important for us to take stock. And how do you decide which is an asset, which is a liability? The thing that takes you towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thing that reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is your asset. And the thing that takes you away towards ghaflat, takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is your liability, irrespective of what it is. It may be a person, it may be your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your children, maybe friends, maybe money, maybe influence, authority, you know, whatever, right? All of these, in themselves, they are neither good nor bad. In themselves, they are value neutral. What they do to you and what you allow them to do to you makes them either good or evil. And therefore, all of these things must be careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah called them the fitna. Innama lamwalukum wa auladukum fitna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your wealth and your children are a test for you. Yeah, they're a test for you. So, whether you pass in the test or you fail in the test, how do you show that? Whether you allow this wealth and you allow your children, you allow your family and you allow your wealth and influence and so on and so forth, do you allow this to take you close to Allah or away from Allah? Do you allow this to make you more obedient to Allah or less obedient to Allah? Right? That is the test. What else is the test? That is the test is what Allah has given me. Do I use this to please Him or do I use this to buy His displeasure? Which one? I mean, both are. So wealth by itself is neither a blessing nor a curse. Wealth is wealth. Right? What you do with the wealth makes it a blessing, or what you do with the wealth makes it a curse. How you earn it, where you spend it. Like we said earlier in the other series, that ikhtiyar is limited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us limited choice, limited ability to exercise our choice. Basically, not Allah has given you freedom of choice, but limited ability to influence that. So, I choose something, but I can only do that much with it. Now, what is it that you want to do with it? You want to take this wealth and convert it into a curse for yourself? Or do you want to take the wealth and make it into an asset for yourself? Today, if you look at it, one of the major reasons for children going astray is the fact that parents have wealth. The same parents, if they did not have money, those children would be on the right path. As simple as that. But because they have the money, they give the money, the children are going all over the place and then it creating problems for themselves and their parents. So, who is responsible? The parents are responsible. So, it's not a tarbiyah of children. Tarbiyah of parents is required before the tarbiyah of children. So, which is an asset? Which is a liability? That which takes you towards Allah is an asset. That which takes you away from Allah is a liability. I think this is what we need to think about and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ensure that whatever He has given us never turns into a liability, is always an asset, and we need to make the effort to make sure that it's always an asset. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.